The tourist literature finally arrived in the mail. Robert looked it over during dinner. Julie kept harping that their marriage could not be salvaged unless he found out who he was. She insisted that a trip to this little place in Canada, this island, that was supposed to be his birthplace, might give him the answers that he needed. He could afford it. Being a tax lawyer in Manhattan and living in luxury on Park Avenue had its benefits. He got over his adoptive parents' sudden death years ago. It was a loving home. They were good to him. But it was not his, especially when they told him he was adopted. Lately, Julie had been telling him that he was getting too distant. She said she still loved him, but she could not cope with the sudden increase in his drinking and the mood swings. Mood swings? What about her mood swings? That young paralegal on the 7th floor didn't have mood swings. She was fun to socialize with at Clancy's. This keeps up at home, and Robert will accept what has been offered. There it is, Surrey and the other place, South Lake. His birth father lived in the small place. His birth mother was dead. Breast cancer, so they said, before they found him. Julie, the traitor, put the request in on their end. His birth mother had married after he was born to another man, and she had a family in her new life. Birth father, too, had a family. Half-brothers, half-sisters, nieces, nephews. It was going to have to be the best scotch going to face up to this. 3 weeks later, the DC-9 touched down at the Charlottetown airport. Robert looked around the terminal and was relieved. They did what he asked. There was nobody there holding a card with his name on it. Jeff and Lisa were bored already, away from home and missing their friends. Too much. He looked around as Julie headed up the highway. Route 2. How could he be from here? Nothing is familiar. There is no gut feeling here. No sense of belonging. The senior partner had told him to relax and he would find himself. Huh. What did Edward know? Inside of an hour, they topped a hill, and he asked Julie to pull over. What a vista. Big stone church on the left. That must have been his mother's church. Scattering of buildings. And to the right. Beach. Red cliffs. Blue water shimmering in the harbor. A great big boat. Oh, that's the car ferry. A lovely place indeed. Robert got ticked at Julie that night. She had poured the Johnny Walker down the toilet and also had flushed the spare bottle he had hidden in the suitcase. Find yourself here, she screamed at him. Not in a shot glass. The reunions, if that's what you would call them, the next day with both families went okay. They welcomed them as if they knew Robert all their lives. Lisa and Jeff became like their mother, traitors, and disappeared with their cousins to what was rapidly becoming their favorite place in the whole wide world, Basin Head Beach. To jump off the bridge into the run. Rite of passage, his new brother Doug said. No worries, Robert. Yeah, right. Robert's rite of passage was getting drunk at a soiree at the country club with, he even forgets her name now. And what she looked like. His rite of passage wasn't jumping in the ocean. Julie went for coffee with his new sister Kathy, and she must have told his sister about the drinking. Now Robert couldn't even go to the liquor store. Kathy's husband Al worked there, and Julie gave him that look. Gordon took him up to visit his birth mother's grave. There was a feeling there, kind of weird, but he would not allow himself to think. And he got away from there as quick as he could. Control. Robert needed to be in control. It finally all came to a head on Saturday night at Laura's house over a lobster dinner. His father took him outside and filled him in. Typical story. Young adults meet at a dance, fall madly in love, back seat of the car, then pregnancy. parents object strenuously. Neither side allows a mixed marriage. Pressure was too much. Robert was born in Charlottetown and given up for adoption, ending up with a rich family in the States. Answers given, yes. Feeling a bit better, yes. Maybe Julie was right, yes. But still, the emptiness would not go away. A nagging feeling said he should have spent more time at the cemetery in Surrey visiting his birth mother. He dismissed the thought. He simply did not like cemeteries. Sunday morning, his father appeared at the motel just as they were getting up and invited them to his church. Robert never went to church, but he did not wish to offend. Therefore, he could not refuse. His father talked proudly to them the whole way east, pointing out this cousin's home and that, where the schools were, telling stories all the way. There was the property the old man was born and raised in, a newly built home there now. Robert wondered aloud what the old house looked like. Eventually, they drove up to a small white church with a high spire at the South Lake corner. A couple of men greeted them at the door. His father introduced them proudly as a son, daughter-in-law, and grandchildren. Both men reached out to shake a hand and stated, "Welcome home, Robert. Glad to meet you. We are cousins of yours." Julie smiled and took Robert's hand. He was taken aback. It was years since she did that. The service started. Once the sermon commenced, Robert gazed around him, and in the pew opposite was an elderly man and woman. And look at the clothes they are wearing. And the hat she has on. He shook his head and turned back and looked at the minister. "That is not the same man. This man is tall, severe looking, and has mutton chops." Robert looked over towards the organ. It is gone. Instead, a man is idly twiddling a tuning fork in his fingers. Robert shudders and turns. Everyone except his father, Julie, and the kids look different. Some stare straight ahead. Others are nodding and smiling. Long dresses, hats, ties, white shirts, and dark suits. As the benediction is pronounced, everything fades from view, and Robert is back in the present. This was too much. Was this the start of the DTs? The word renewal will not leave his head. If challenged, he thinks he can recite that whole sermon word for word. His father insisted on taking them around back of the church to the cemetery. Julie took his hand again. Twice in the same day. He looked. Yes, it was really her. They were led to a low, shiny black headstone. Where did that noise come from? Then he heard his father say that his grandfather was a section man on the railway, just down the road in Elmira. Robert then heard a voice.
"Hurtwood never killed anyone. Just make sure you remember who you're working for."
They walked towards a tall white marble stone near the fence. Robert gazed at his father's mother's parents' grave. He could see them both. Those two were sitting two rows over in the church.
"Feed your soul with love as well as the body with good food. Want a cookie, son?"
All of a sudden, the taste of molasses crossed his tongue. His mouth watered. "Gee, that tastes good." They walked slowly towards another white stone. Robert instinctively knew that this was another set of grandparents. No, great-grandparents. He shook his head as his father described this man as a great horseman.
"Great to have some fun, son. Make sure you always share it with your children."
And another stone. You could see the man with the tuning fork.
"Try something new each day, Robert. Life is a lot less boring that way, boy."
It suddenly dawned on Robert that stone after stone represented his ancestry. His family was here. He could see them all lined up on the horizon in the field. Some were leaning on the fence, and they were all smiling and nodding at him. They were together, side by side, whole sets of husbands and wives. He could smell the sea. He could smell, oh, a barnyard. People were laughing. And there were people talking to other people, looking each other straight in the eye, working it all out.
There's no future unless you know your past.
Stakes are just that, as long as you can recognize them and learn from them.
We'd never have survived here except that we worked side by side and together as a team.
Go to bed with the hens and get up with the roosters.
Always give flowers to someone when they are alive.
Never get off the potatoes and onto the straw.
You are an islander. Get rid of the whitewash.
We always had more trouble than money, but we never quit.
Till death do us part. Still works for us.
Love is the most precious gift you will ever give or receive.
It's easy to pass a poor man's door.
We only use the eggs we had in the hen house.
You can take the boy out of the island, but you can't take the island out of the man.
Robert then opened his eyes and saw that they were at the southwest corner of the cemetery and looking towards the lake. A man, a young man and woman. It was Julian himself. Were standing waist-deep in the water. They looked up towards the church and winked at Robert. He turned carefully and looked in Julie's eyes.
Let's just the two of us go for a swim in that little lake down there before we go home.
Robert hears another voice.
Partners in life and partners in death, Robert. This is the only way we survived. This is how you came to be.
Robert takes a last look around. His ancestors made it to old age, and here they were, side by side, at rest and at peace.
Welcome home.